Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 84th weekly episode of the series Land of Light. Last week, we spoke of the beginning of Amul Huzn, or the Year of Grief, during which Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, lost two of his staunchest supporters and guardians, that is, wife Khadija and uncle Abu Talib. Last week, we focused on the departure of Khadija from the mortal world, and today, we will present you glimpses from the last moments of Abu Talib, peace be upon him. Abu Talib was resting on his deathbed in his small and modest home. An old rug was spread across the floor and a glass of water was placed next to his bed. The aged and exhausted Abu Talib woke up at dawn before sunrise to offer the Fajr or morning prayers. Every part of his home was full of unforgettable memories for him, of which the most important were reminiscence of the childhood and youth of his beloved nephew, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, that shone like the resplendent sun. In the meantime, the Prophet of Islam was praying and worshipping God next to his uncle's bed. Abu Talib had woken up. He remembered the day, decades earlier, on which his nephew, still below teen years, insisted on accompanying him on his business trip to Syria. Abu Talib reminisced his nephew holding the camel's reins and urging him to take him along to Syria with the trade caravan of the Quraysh. Tears had welled up in the eyes of Abu Talib on hearing the remarks of the orphaned boy, who was the son of his deceased consanguineous brother, Abdullah. So he took him on the journey to Syria with the caravan heading toward the desert. But surprisingly, the caravan experienced neither heat nor the torrid rays of the Arabian sun, because of hovering of a swath of cloud above it, or more properly, directly over the head of the orphan boy, Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This very same cloud, which prevented the falling of the boy's shadow on the ground, was a sign which Buhayra, the monotheist hermit of Syria, had later interpreted as proof of the emergence of the last and greatest of all prophets. Abu Talib recalled Buhayra's words, who said,
"A young priest rushed towards me and informed me about a caravan approaching the monastery. It was a trade caravan of the Meccan Arabs that carried commodities to Damascus, the capital of Syria. I felt some inner joy. I instructed the gates to be open, and I offered my warm welcome for the first time in 15 years to the Quraysh trade caravan, which surprised the Meccan Arabs as well."
An Arab man said,
"We have been passing this monastery for the past 15 years, but this is the first time that I see you welcoming our arrival."
"You're all my guests, and it is necessary to courteously treat my guests. Now I invite all of you to join me in a luncheon.
The Meccan traders, who were rather surprised at this warm invitation, headed for monastery one after the other. An hour later, the scent of grilled meat increased the appetite of the travelers, and soon a variety of tasty dishes were spread out before them on the table. Buhayra called on the guests to enjoy their meals. A few moments later, the members of the caravan began to eat, while the hermit anxiously asked them,
"Has any members of the caravan been left behind at the camp with the camels?"
"No one is absent."
"We are all here."
Abu Talib then said,
"Yes, Buhayra, my young nephew is outside the monastery keeping an eye on the goods."
"Dear Abu Talib, you're the leading figure of Mecca, and you're leading this caravan. How can one accept that your nephew should not join us for this luncheon?"
"He is only a child. We have told him to keep an eye on the cargo."
"I have invited all members of the caravan for this luncheon at the monastery, and that includes adults and children as well."
Two priests were told to go out and keep an eye on the caravan's cargo while into the main hall of the monastery was escorted a 12-year-old boy who was tall and broad-shouldered like an adult. Abu Talib stood up and embraced his nephew, saying this was the person left out. Later, Buhayra waved his hand and beckoned to the uncle and nephew to accompany him to an adjacent room, where the aged hermit kneeled on the floor to see the child face to face. He then looked joyfully at him as if he had found his lost one.
"What is his name?"
"He is called Muhammad."
"I have never heard such a name amongst the Arabs."
"This name was chosen by my father, Abdul Muttalib, for him, so that he would be praised on earth the same way he is praised in the celestial heavens."
After lifting boy's shirt and carefully looking between his shoulders, Buhayra said,
"This name has been mentioned in the heavenly scriptures, and Prophet Jesus has given the tidings of the most praiseworthy prophet to come after him. By God, I have seen the seal of prophethood between the two shoulders of this boy, and he is the savior of mankind, as foretold by Prophet Jesus and the prophets of the past. Guard him well from the plots of the Arabs and the Israelites."
The moment for the departure of the trade caravan approached. Camels stood up to commence the journey. Abu Talib, on his deathbed, remembered the ringing of the bell that hung around the necks of the camels as the journey commenced, and even the voice of Buhayra seemed to still reverberate in his ears with the words,
"Guard him well from the plots of the enemies."
Abu Talib wiped out the tears that welled in his eyes, and turning his head, saw the Prophet beside him. Abu Talib was happy that he had successfully guarded his beloved nephew and his mission as a prophet from the plots of the enemies.
"When I took you under my roof, you were already an orphan on both sides. No one knew your elevated status. But I knew, as my father and his ancestors had known about your status, since this was a guarded secret among us, the monotheist progeny of the prophets Abraham and Ishmael. I took extra precaution to protect you every moment. I spent a lifetime caring for you, asked my wife Fatima daughter of Asad to cater to your needs as your own mother and instructed my children to assist you and follow your teachings. Now I feel that I have completed my job. However, I still don't know whether I have fully carried out my responsibility or not. I wish that everyone were informed of my sentiments. However, it is the will of God that the Arab polytheists should not know of my firm belief in Islam and your mission as the last and greatest prophet. Let me loudly announce your prophethood and call myself a Muslim now that I am returning to my Creator, the one and only Allah, so that pronouncing your name and mission publicly would bestow more divine blessings upon me.
The prophet sat next to his uncle's bed, soothing him and gently watching him.
Dear uncle, you assisted me in every way you could. May God reward you for your services to me and to Islam.
Then Abu Talib, in his last words to his children, said,
My children, I recommend Muhammad to you because he is the trusted one of Quraysh and the truthful one of Arabia, and he possesses all the virtues. He has been entrusted by God with the most perfect religion, which has been accepted by the hearts, but the tongues have chosen to deny it on account of fear of taunts. I can see that the weak and the helpless of Arabia have got up to support him and believe in him.
Abu Talib smiled and closed his eyes. The soul of the father of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, had left the body and flown towards the ethereal heavens after accomplishing such great tasks, including 3 years of social economic boycott and the sanctions imposed by the pagan Arabs on the Prophet and the new Muslim community. The loss of a valiant supporter like Abu Talib, whom the pagan Arabs feared the most, was indeed unbearable to the Prophet. The year of Abu Talib's death, the Prophet was mostly saddened and stayed in solitude. The saddened Prophet asked his dear cousin, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, make arrangements for funeral of Abu Talib, and laid him to rest in Jannatul Mu'alla Cemetery, which alas has been desecrated and destroyed by the heretical Wahhabi cult which currently rules over Arabia. Upon the revision of other phases of the Prophet's life, it will become perfectly clear that Abu Talib's presence highly contributed to the progress of Islam. Dear listeners, do not forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the story. God bless you and goodbye.